Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men Podcast. We are here. We are in the studio. I am Paul Machin. Ben Kelly is with me. I'm from home. We've got Errol Smith and Bailey Shaw as well, rounding up the dream team. We've got a bunch of things to discuss. I mean, you'll have seen the title. You'll have seen the thumbnail. We're going to have to talk about the front three and a whole host of reasons behind it. Of course, we will also... I promised myself the final word. It's going to be the final word, but no, we'll talk a little bit more about the Man United game when we kick things off in a minute. A little bit on Salah's future and obviously looking ahead to Burnley on Thursday as well. This week's kickoff question comes from Jith, who's one of our Club Legend members over on the RedmenTV.com in our exclusive Club Legend Discord group. He says, you're allowed to fuse two Liverpool players together to create a new player with all the strengths of both, e.g. Salah and Virgil. Fused would have Salah's pace, Virgil's strength, etc. The only downside of this is you would lose the ability to field both players. Would you use this ability? And if so, which players would be fused? Any Dragon Ball Z fans will recognise this as a fusion technique. Fusion Ha. Right, well done. I'm glad Tyrion's going to be a Tyrion's got that. It was very, very pleasing to see
that. Was the first comment I was going to make. Fuck Liverpool off for a second, straight to Dragon Ball Z.
I actually don't know where we are in layout, but it would be wonderful. You guys presumably next to each other, we could probably get like a proper. We could probably get a proper fusion thing working. Yeah, we've just lost so many of our audiences.
One of your guests.
Yeah.
No idea.
If you haven't watched Dragon Ball Z, highly recommend it. Ben, you're fusing two Liverpool players together.
I thought there was two options, current squad. There was sort of two options I went down here. I had a conversation with Ross before. The first one would just be to simply take Divock Origi's knees and give them to Virgil. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, Divock's always fit.
I'd be
perfectly okay with that. But secondly, like, there's probably something within merging Taki and Shaqiri together and using, you know, it's one less sub and they're both talented players, and then you get a slightly better player out of that. Although the only sort of drawback to that is that, and maybe it says more about Taki Minamino at the moment, is that I don't necessarily know exactly what Taki Minamino is good at, so I don't know I don't know exactly what Shaqiri would gain that he doesn't already have if I fuse those two
fitter.
Together maybe more availability. Oh, that's what you want out of the players. Oh, best ability is availability, Bailey. That's what you said before.
There you go. Show, yeah. A bit of word of wisdom.
Absolutely. Errol, who are you fusing?
I kind of got excited by the prospect of this question, because originally I just thought, like, all Liverpool players that I can remember seeing in my lifetime, but then I've narrowed it down to this current crop. I'm going to go with Thiago and Curtis Jones. Simply because, yeah, I just think if we was able to give Thiago's level of world-class ability and directly fuse it with Curtis Jones' youth, I think we've got a baller for at least the next 10 to 15 years potentially on our hands. And he could play all of those midfield roles. He's definitely got a shot on him as well. And I just think he'd be able to have so much swagger. He'd run most of our games from midfield at like the age of 20, 21. And I just think that...
outstanding. That is an outstanding answer.
You can tell I watch Dragon Ball Z. You can tell I watch Dragon Ball Z.
You've just basically made... it's like wishing for youth upon Thiago. You've given him... You've given Thiago Alcantara youth. He's homegrown. And he's half a foot taller.
And he's got like a mad Spanish Scouse accent.
Absolutely.
I just think it'd be great. I think from midfield, especially with a bit more pace as well in him, in his legs, I just think we'd have a proper prospect in midfield. Then I think we'd have
the next great player. That's astounding work, right? Go on, Bailey, what have you got? Top that.
I've gone for a different approach. In my head, I'm seeing, do these two people merge and like their physical forms completely kind of change as well? Because I'd love to see like Shaqiri and Matip put together. Just to see like, if you've got like a 6'5 beanpole with like the world's biggest calves you've ever seen.
Yeah, you'd probably end up, unfortunately, with like a really average 5'10".
Charlie Adam.
Yeah, that's what you get. Slightly less technical, but it would be funny.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to see.
You just want to lift morale around the chair. That's all you've done there. I'm not doing that to benefit Liverpool's playing abilities on the pitch. I'm just doing it to make everyone smile when they come to train it. I had one, and it kind of follows a little bit of what we've had so far. James Milner and Naby Keita. You've just fixed Naby Keita, and it doesn't even matter that technically, like, you know, you might be, you're either de-aging Milner or you're aging Naby Keita. It doesn't matter. You know, if Naby Keita could just have the resilience of Milner, that's like all I'd even be taking at this point. Just the ability to be fit every single week.
And it's like, you know, Milner would happily give that up at this point, wouldn't he? Go, I've had my time, Naby, and I'll pass my...
See, I think he would go like that, but really he would just be like, I'm just going to... He's thinking it more the other way. He's thinking he's stealing the close control and quick acceleration of Naby Keita.
If we're merging these players, do we have to compromise on age? Like, do we have to turn their age into something in between? Ooh. Or can I just choose to be Curtis Jones, is it? You know, for Errols, can you just have... Or do you have to kind of meet in the middle
Bailey's was much more comical, you know, for a pure mashup, but would be interesting. But no, whatever you want, it does say that you can, you know, you're choosing the strengths.
Yes, good point. So Curtis Jones' strength is his age. I've got to ask. Does this Matip and Shaqiri fuse still walk like gangly like Matip?
Like
with these massive thighs. But is that one of his strengths?
It's like something from Spore, and he's got his thighs are literally like this big.
He's got
the tiniest little stick body, and then like calves like this.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
You'd want to see it.
There must be an app that lets us do that somewhere. I've got to get onto that.
Yeah, it might be the thing that rescues Snapchat from oblivion. This, if you can actually
somebody
properly merge.
Shaqiri and Matip out there, please.
Yeah, one of the wonderfully talented people out there at home wants to do that and send it to us, tweet us at the Redmen TV. That would be absolutely amazing. We're going to be talking about a little bit about the Man United game. We're going to talk about Salah's future, talking about the front three, and talking about Burnley after this very short break, where we give you a little bit of a closer look at some of our wonderful gaming inspired LFC merchandise. you're on, welcome back. Yes, get involved with all that over on the Red Men TV merch store, most of which, if you're on YouTube, you can just scroll down underneath the video. There's a little shelf there you can scroll along and yeah, see what we've got on offer there. Not just the gaming stuff, but loads of brilliant stuff as well. Yeah, just to kick us into this, really, the Man United game was obviously a bit of a disappointment. Probably both sets of fans a little bit disappointed in some regards. There's a comment from Ashley Frith live here alongside the video, and he just says, the footy used to help with lockdown, now it's making it worse. I couldn't agree more with this, yeah. But I'm you can draw games with Manchester United in any given situation, any season, doesn't matter how good you are or how crap you are, you can draw these games. But the fact that it's now four games of disappointment, and it feels a stretch to try and glean any enjoyment out of the, you know, any positivity out of the Villa game given the circumstances. So yeah, the only form of escapism we're allowed at this point. And yeah, it's really letting us down.
This is what it's been like to be an Everton fan the whole time. Just I can't believe, like, there'll be so many fans maybe watching this and going, for God's sake, they've not won in four. Jeez, cry me a fucking river, yeah. Lads. But this is how it's been. This is how it feels after four years. Like, well, 3 years certainly of just playing at the very, very top level. And look, don't get me wrong. All the way through last season, like, there was on these shows, we were always saying that we've got to enjoy this while we can, because we knew that last season in particular, it's never going to happen again. Yeah. Like, or it'd be very, very unlikely to ever happen again, you know, in my lifetime, or, you know, just to have a team that good and to get that far into a season, having only drawn one game, was absolutely ludicrous. And maybe it's only now that we sort of look back on it and you sort of really can reflect on just how fucking insane that was.
Yeah.
But, you know, that doesn't make me any less or more happy that this is happening right now.
Look, it's like breaking up with someone and realizing that they were just super hot and it was a big mistake, you know, that you really wish you'd just taken advantage of that a bit more at the time or whatever. No, it is. It's tough, isn't it, Errol? Because, you know, Ben's right and all. I don't want to fall into this trap, and I've been psychologically clawing myself out of it over the last 24 hours or so, that, like, it's all over, Liverpool's time with the top is done and dusted, yada, yada, yada. It's not. I can't see that being the case, but right here and now, I can understand why mentalities will shift towards that, because, you know, we really could do with some power of positivity. It felt like 6 weeks ago, or maybe slightly more now, but whatever, a month ago, more or more, we turned the corner. You know, we were starting to get fans back into ground. We were grinding our way out, despite the fact that we had loads of injuries, and we got some really big wins. And then you're heading into Christmas. Liverpool came out of tier three, all that kind of stuff. And now it just, you know, Trump loses, and everything just feels like was that all a dream? You know, we seem to be back into even bigger, thick of it.
It's made the last 4 weeks seem like a year in itself. Just how, like, the total polar opposites of the emotions that we're probably going through as fans. I think more than anything else, I think I said it last time I was on with you. The fact that we scored those seven goals against Palace, really, we should have just kind of saved ourselves a little bit and spread them over the couple of games that we needed the next couple of weeks. Because I felt like the game against Spurs, we done really well. It looked as if we was headed in the right direction. It was the two teams competing for the top of the league at the time. They started to falter and fall away after that game. So I thought, yes, we're starting to kind of, hopefully now over the Christmas period, which historically for Klopp has been a good time of year, really. We qualify for Champions League. Obviously, the knockout, we get Leipzig. There was reason for us to be kind of upbeat going into the new year. And then it just fell flat. A couple of draws and obviously a bad result against Southampton in that mix as well. And I just think it's compiled more with the fact that it was against Man U. Everybody kind of just wanted this game to play. We can forget Newcastle's draw. We can forget Southampton's loss if we beat Man U. Like, it'll all be okay if we beat Man U. I think that was the kind of general mentality for a lot of people. And the fact that it just didn't happen and it was a bit of a dire game, I just think it's made people realise that maybe this period might be lingering around for a little bit longer. So
It's a dangerous game, isn't it, Bailey? You know, like having to putting so much onto needing that win. And the Man United thing only ever exacerbates that. I mean, the encouraging thing from this is that I think Liverpool, there were certainly more positive signs in how Liverpool played in that Man United game. You know, they could quite easily have lost it, but, you know, in terms of accentuating the positives, I think it's also worth remembering, you know, United have been through a tricky period. City have been through their own tricky period. And it stands to reason that this is just Liverpool's and they'll emerge at some point out the other side of it.
Yeah, that's basically the mentality I've been rocking at the minute, is that, you know, Everton were on a title challenge. They lost three or four games in a row. Now they're pretty much going to go on top of us if they win their next game. You say United were nowhere near even top four, let alone first, about a month ago. You say City have had been rough. Arsenal were in a relegation battle about a month ago. Now they're, what, seventh, eighth? It's just going to be one of those seasons. But the thing for, I think, for a lot of fans is we've had it so good for like 2 years now. And it's kind of that you don't know what you've got until it's gone mentality, that I used to look at any fixture that we had. I'd be like, oh, we've got Spurs coming up. Sound. We'll probably win. City coming up. It'll be tough, but we'll win. I've not felt nervous until now. You know, coming into that United game, I felt nervous. I haven't felt nervous against United since Klopp came here. Yeah. And I think that's that unsettling attitude of what we've not had yet with Klopp. At least since he's come, you know, since he first came in 2016 and was trying to build his team. This team doesn't get nervy. It doesn't make you feel nervous. And I think that's kind of, we're in uncharted waters here of, you know, yeah, I don't know how to feel.
The flip side to all of this, and my dad keeps saying this to me, and I don't know whether he's just trying to justify things in his head, but he keeps going, well, at least it's all exciting. You know, it's good for the league, it's good for the... and I keep going, yeah, I think I'd still rather be 20 points ahead, to be honest. Oh, yeah. But I think, you know, when if you want to look at it that way, you know, it's right in a way. You know, we've won the league the way we won it last season. We ran away with it. You know, a different type of way of winning a league is to go in a dogged title race that, you know, that lasts long periods of the season. You know, that Manchester City season where we were toe to toe with them, you know, you did a really good bit on one of the podcasts about the fact that became a title race so much earlier than it should have been. You know, you get into February and suddenly every single point matters. And again, that's the type of mentality that we've got ourselves into now. If you go back 10 years, you know, teams would drop points like this all the time. You might go on a bit of a spell. I remember 08-09, Liverpool went through a spell, Chelsea went through a spell, and towards the end of the season, you know, we went away and won at Old Trafford. United then went and lost at Fulham. Every team who's going to go in the title race goes through a spell where they drop points. Yeah. City had theirs at the beginning of the season. Now, whether or not they have another one, I don't know, as we go into European football, but like, this is normal for a normal title race. It's just that Liverpool haven't been in many title races over the last 10 years. So it's something, this now, the tightness of it all.
Yeah.
It's different because there's so many teams, but this is a new experience for us.
Yeah, and I think we've done our own heads in, and I'm guilty of this myself. You know, I was writing this year's book as I kind of go along, and I was like, this title's done. We beat Spurs, and I was like, I think that's it. Then we won't. And I was like, if we go and get a good result against Palace, then I think that's it.
I expected us to kick on.
And I was just, you know, we're getting players back. Everything's looking up, and I sold myself the dream, and that's my own stupid fault in some regards, because I've gotten carried away. You know, I've gone against my own point of this, of like, don't think too far ahead, because we're having these conversations. This time last year, we weren't talking about like, oh, isn't it going to be great when we win the league? We'd started to turn talk to Invincibles and winning a quadruple and all that absolute fucking noise that just, you know, that ends up, again, we led to ourselves into a path of disappointment when we should have been absolutely made up with it. In some regards, actually going into lockdown and then nearly having it taken away to get it helped us, because by the time we came back, the focus was solely on just getting the title over the line. But, you know, we've made it very hard for ourselves. The thing I would suggest on this, Errol, you know, it's hard to know this. It's impossible to know this right now because Liverpool are just in a run of bad form, is the final third of the season is going to be the most telling third, because everything was up and down in the first third when there was limited pre-seasons and everyone was just kind of getting themselves up to speed. The final third is where we're going to see what everyone's got left in the tank. So right now the game is to stay in contention. It's to be in touching distance, because I can't help but feel that there's going to be a glut of teams just basically collapsing in a big heap when we come to the final running.
Well, I'm open. So, I mean, right at this moment in time, I don't, as you were saying then, don't want to sell yourself that dream that will be there. But more than anything else, I genuinely believe we've still got the obviously got the caliber of players to be able to be in with the shell come the back end of the season. I just think the sooner we can start getting the results back in our favour and, you know, getting the 3 points back on the board, I think we just need to forget about the noise and everybody else around us at the minute and just focus on what we do well. I think we've been really good at controlling games a lot lately. As I know we're going to go on to in a minute, it's just that potency up front. Something's dipped. I can't quite put my finger on it. I've got a few theories in mind, but at the same time, towards the back end of the season, for me, is going to be crucial just in respect of there's the European games towards in the summer. And I think that's going to be a huge thing because those teams that don't believe that they're in with the shout, I think some of their players will go in with that mentality, well, I'm going to save myself. I need to save my body. I don't want to be injured. I don't want to be fit. Whereas if our players are within touching distance, I just want the league to be the only thing they focus on. Forget the Euros. Just concentrate on getting those last games over the line.
Yeah, definitely. We'll pick up on the front three stuff in a minute. But Bailey, there's a comment here from Eddie Bond, and he just says, "Only 18 games in, lads," and that's the telling thing about all this. You know, Liverpool are just the talk of the town at the moment. That's the thing that's getting me down. Is that life's a bit crap. The escapism's not working with Liverpool. But in addition to that, everyone else who are normal, a lot of people I really dislike, who actually dislike Liverpool, are like pigs in shit at the minute, which is definitely exacerbating this. But we're not even at the halfway point of the season yet. There is a damn sight more football and a hell of a lot more twists and turns to come between now and May.
Yeah, those people that are, you know, season write-offs, you know, basically think we can't function without Gomez and Van Dijk and, you know, we need that structure that we've become so used to in the last 3 years back to in order to win games. Whereas I'm so the other way in that we're such a versatile team and the way that we've moulded our style of play from, you know, gegenpress to a half press through the midfield to a full-back game, we are a team that know how to adapt and change. We've been had our legs cut from under us with the injuries that we've got. For me personally, whilst I feel that the final third of the season is going to be important for everyone, this next, you know, end of January into February, personally, I think is going to be our most trying times. You know, the fixture list and the run of games we've got, if we can't get ourselves into gear and, you know, really put a marker down to say, you know, this is just a purple patch, we're here to stay, this is where I think, you know, it kind of hangs in the balance. And the players are going to know this. And like I say, I think we've just kind of got to be patient and understand that we've had it so good that you kind of got to expect in the fourth season of pretty much the same forwards that things may be tiresome.
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
I want to instill that fear factor again. I think that's what's missing. I feel like a lot of teams at the minute, where they used to know last season, where whatever it was 70 odd minutes in, it might have been 0-0 or it might have been 1-1. They knew we was going to score that next goal. It's that fear factor at the minute, I think, is missing. And if we can get that back in the next couple of weeks, I think we will still be in the mix.
What's interesting for me is I think teams are still scared of us, and that's kind of our detriment, because how many teams have we come across?
Nobody's going to go toe to toe with us.
They're just sitting, and with the fact that we haven't got the midfield to really negate a low block, our fullbacks aren't particularly at their peak at the minute. So what was already a really common tactic opposition would use against us with a low block has become even harder, because we don't have, you know, the personnel to deal with it. And it's just, you turn up against United, who were favourites for that game, should have gone for it, sat back, don't care, we'll play you on the counter. Same as Spurs, same as Southampton. It's just, you kind of have to get used to that. When you're not scoring, it seems so much worse.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with all of that, and that's the kind of issue that we're faced with. Let's get into some of it. Before we do, I just want to point out, obviously, we've got a couple of super chats coming from Trig Josh. We'll get through to people's super chats at the end, so if you want to get any more random stuff you want us to discuss at the back end of the show, then by all means get them in. I will catch up with them later on. But I was desperately trying to Google for another wonderful pop culture reference, and I just felt, and I'm sadly, I haven't got the name of the Pokemon, but at the minute, those crap Pokemon that you start with that don't have any offensive weapons and turn into Caterpie. Yeah, that's how you basically beat Liverpool at the moment, is just be super defensive and wait for us to blow ourselves out.
Is it a Weevil?
Why not? It's not Pokemon. Close enough. Right, Sald. Mohamed Salah, just briefly before we talk into it, because I think it's a worthwhile point. Salah's spoken about his future again, and he said, if you ask, I say I want to stay here as long as I can, but as I've said before, it's in the hands of the club. I'll always give 100% to the last minute. I am in this club and I want to win as many trophies as I can. And I want to give 100% to the people who show me love all the time. This is a perfect example.
This is 110% from you.
This is a perfect example of if you speak, it gets misread. And if you shut up, people think there's a problem. Then if you speak again, it looks like, oh, you're trying to overcompensate. Because that's all fine. It's like it's a thing from TV sitcoms where someone phones up and leaves an answerphone message and it's not quite right, so they try again. Something just slightly wrong, and they're like, and this is like, that's perfect. That's everything Salah should say, apart from the bit where he says, it's in the hands of the club, which is like, oh, so that he's basically throwing shade at Liverpool there, saying that Liverpool need to sort his future out, blah, 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 blah. He just needs to shut the fuck up and score some goals, because I'm not into this like Salah's crap thing all of a sudden. He's not scored in the last four. He was scoring every week prior to that. Top goal scorer in the league prior to this poor run of form.
He's been through goal droughts like this before, even longer than this before. I mean, you know, the back end of the season when we go to Madrid, that was all they were talking about from like March to May. You know, the fact that he hadn't scored in all this time, and then he gets the goal at Chelsea and Southampton and everything's rosy again. So that's all we're waiting for here. You know, and Burnley might be the game to do it. I'd love him to do it against Tottenham next week. He just needs a couple of goals and suddenly all this talk goes away. In terms of the future stuff, I mean, he's asked a question and he answers, you know, and when you're asked a direct question about your future as a player, I mean, first of all, I imagine there's an extensive amount of media training than you're told what to say in that situation. Yeah. But also, you know, it's not exactly a question you can completely dodge. You can't just not, if you're asked, tell us about your future, you can't just start talking about the game against Man United. And so, you know, you've got to give something. Yeah. So, you know, I think what he said here is standard, you know, stuff. I mean, we've heard it from Suarez, we've heard it from Coutinho. Doesn't mean he's going, but I think it was Bailey. He made a really good point on the Red News Roundup before. Obviously, that's coming out on the website today. He's more valuable if he looks happy. If he comes out and says he wants to leave, that's a big detriment to the club. You know, if at some point in the summer we are looking to sell, or in the next 12 months, you're going to get 20 million less, because clubs are going to come in and go, well, he doesn't want to be there, so why should we give you more?
Yeah, and even expanding the happiness thing, I saw someone saying, I just want to see Salah smile again. It's like, he was laughing his head off at times during that Man United match. Yeah. Like, you know, and I do wonder sometimes when people are looking for problems, Bailey, like there's someone sat there and they go, Salah, he doesn't look happy. And it's like, you can imagine watching the telly, Salah misses a chance, and the person goes and looks down at the phone, and then on the screen you've got Salah like belly laughing, like, you know, patting Sadio Mane and Firmino on the back and having a good time, and then like it cuts away and looks up, and then like, you know, he just goes, oh, and he's, oh god, look at him, absolutely disgraceful body language. The Salah thing, I can't help but feel that there's just, we're maybe making a bit much out of it. But the problem, of course, is we've got three forwards who aren't in form. You could literally, you know, if you could dissect the fan base, I think, in three, and it's the people who think it's Mane's fault, the people who think it's Firmino's fault, and the people who think it's Salah's fault, and you'll find an equal amount of voices, pretty much, you think they're the chief culprit behind all this.
Yeah, it's a bit like, it's sort of the same story when people are like, why does Salah and Mane never celebrate together? They must hate each other. And then you read Robertson's book, and Robertson's like, they're literally best mates. Like, in the changing rooms and after the game, they laugh about the fact that they don't take as much chances as they do.
Yeah.
And you're right, you can't single out individuals. Obviously, we'll go on to talk about
character. On your point, sorry, Bailey, the person who's threatened to knock me out more than anyone on this earth is Chris Pajak, and vice versa, because you do, you know what I mean? It's like you do your friend.
They're intense. Oh, and I've just remembered the Pokemon you're thinking of was Metapod.
Yes.
That's really out there. What a random thing. What a random time for that to arrive in your head.
Yeah. But I was going to say, they're intensely, intensely professional footballers, and they're trying to play, they're in their peak, and they're trying to perform at their peak. And I think what you've got at the minute is three guys who are realising they're playing a bit shit, and they're really trying to push themselves individually to get a goal, to, you know, try and break this hoodoo that they've got around themselves at the minute. And, you know, when one of them off, the other two guys, they kind of play them back into form a bit. They feed them the ball, maybe give them a penalty. But because none of them are scoring, you're seeing somebody like Bobby Firmino, who has a clear option to play in Robertson, have a shot for himself, because all he's thinking is, I need to find this goal. And it's happening across the three of them. And it's, again, it's not something we tend to see before because they are quite a selfless bunch. You know, they all share the goals. At the minute, like I say, they're just, I think the media are focusing particularly on Salah because he's probably the most likely to leave. You know, he's the guy that Madrid have touted, Barca have touted, of, you know, 29 years old. We need a 30, 40 goal a season striker in the Spanish league. And then you've got the stuff with Gini Wijnaldum coming out and it's like, oh, is it all, it's a good time for the media to basically take Liverpool's bad form and blow it into a.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Million.
No, I said it before. They like pigs and shit. Papers. I did Real Ferdinand's podcast yesterday, and he was like to me, "Is Klopp cracking? Is Klopp losing it?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" Like, I get no sense of that. It's just that people are desperate for it to be true, so they're jumping on the stuff that people the people let roll off them when Liverpool are winning. Is like everyone's looking at all for like these cracks, these flaws, this sign that Liverpool are about to turn shit all of a sudden, I get it. You know, again, it's whatever narrative you're choosing to look at. For me, it feels a little bit premature to kind of go down that kind of pathway.
Yeah, we've definitely not fell off completely. I think even from a team standard, I don't think the overall team standard has dropped that much in the last couple of games. It has just been that clinical edge that obviously we've all just explained. I think there's, as what Bailey was saying there, usually when one of the front three is in a bit of a rut of shift form, the other two just come through and kind of carry the other one through for a couple of games. And then, you know, it's flipped in a traverse. Before it was, before everyone's talking about Salah, it was Mane just becoming up until Christmas. He hadn't scored in how many games, six games he hadn't scored. And everyone was kind of questioning what's the matter with Mane as an individual thing. I just think it's bad time and that off. And to be fair, it's the first time since we've had that front three that all three of them have been in a bad rut of form in the same space of time. So I think that's a bit of a rarity in itself.
Can I just present something here, another angle to this? I don't necessarily think that other than the goal scoring, Mane is in a bad run of form. I think creatively and in terms of looking dangerous, Mane still looks the same as he often does. Mm-hmm. You know, when he gets the ball, particularly in the Southampton game, we didn't create too much in front of goal. But Mane at the moment, out of the
Mane
three
Robert
of us...
Mane Robbo with the standout players in that game.
Mane at the moment, out of the three of them, when he gets the ball, you feel like something might happen. Now, the problem that I've got is that always used to be Firmino, and for a long time, like last season and in the run-up to Madrid and all of that, like even if Firmino wasn't scoring, he was the first name on the team sheet because he was adding so much more to the team. At the moment, I don't feel like I'm getting that from Firmino either. Yeah. And out of the three of them, I think Firmino is the weakest right now. Yeah. I think Salah at any point, I think no matter whether you're in a heart, whether you're in a poor run of form or not, Salah, more often than not will bury a half chance. I'm thinking of the goal away at Everton this season. It just drops to him and it goes. But Mane at the moment, I'm not sure it's fair to put him in the same category as the other two. I know they won't be comparing with each other, but I feel like at the moment, Mane, Man United, he always looks the brightest, he always looks the most dangerous, and I feel like to say that Mane's in a poor run of form just because he's not scoring goals, I feel like with Mane at the moment there's a lot more to his game than that.
I think true enough. I think the problem is with that is that up front form is goal scoring. to some extent. And where if Salah's not scoring and Firmino's not scoring, Mane needs to score. Yeah. And Mane's not scoring. Mane's got what, 6 in 17 in the league so far this season, which is not great. I mean, that's going to put him on, you know, if you extrapolate that, that's like 12 goals in the season, which would be a massive drop off in terms of him. The thing for me in this is because I think Firmino's struggling a bit. His touch looks a little bit off. I think he'd been improved a couple of weeks ago. He seemed to be back to his best. I think Salah, in terms of his all-round gameplay up until the last 4 or 5 games, is as good an all-round performance as I've seen from Salah in a season so far. I think he's been absolutely outstanding. But what when you're in a tough rut like that, this is why the problem for me is it's wider than just going, three lads need to be in form. That would help immensely. You know, if they could just go and win games single-handedly, that would help us definitely. But there's times when they're struggling, you need to just stick one on a plate for them. Now, who's the guys you're sticking on a plate for them? Trent Alexander-Arnold, shocking form this season. Robertson's been great this season, but I think we're starting to see a little bit of a tail off. You know, a couple of times he's gotten into dangerous positions and just fluffed the crossing. Is that coming down
to the fact that you can't commit your fullbacks as high because you've got two midfielders playing at centre back?
Maybe, absolutely. Yeah. And you're right. And I think that, again, you can work your way back down the pitch. But then before we jump to the defence, that's your two creative wide people. The guy who get the most assists in our side are the fullbacks normally, and then behind that in the midfield's been all over the place. Like in terms of what we've done, it's either been three lads playing every game, so there's been a drop off in terms of energy levels and what have you, or right now we're in a situation where we're effectively building a brand new midfield in the middle of the season, which again is all a knock on impact of the defence. So it is a contributing factor. It would just be made a load easier, Edel, by, like, let's just say Trent, for example, because the crossing thing's been a bit of a criticism. You know, when it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But Trent's got the ability, he's that good, he can stick one. It's not about how big the opposition defenders are when you play the right cross. He just hasn't had those textbook Trent Alexander-Arnold perfect moments where Mane just is just between two defenders and nods it in, those kind of things.
No, I agree. And I think it's hard because for the likes of Trent as well, I think that balance in terms of the chemistry with him and Salah hasn't been what it probably was maybe 5, 6, 7 weeks ago. I think in terms of psychologically, I think probably Trent takes it like probably the way Steven Gerrard did. He has the whole world of Liverpool on his shoulders. So he's the first to feel when the results aren't going our way. He's probably taking it overly personal. And it's probably affecting his game a little bit. But you know what? He's a human and he's not a robot. He can't just be switched on to be like perform at optimum level 100 every single time. And I think from us, it's more of a how can we find a way of getting a little bit more out of midfield to offer the front three something. And then obviously taking away from those fullbacks, giving them a little bit more space on the pitch, because I think at the minute they're just not getting the opportunity or the time really to be able to play in those balls that they used to. And I think what Ben was saying before about obviously not getting as high up the pitch is probably playing into it, because they are playing with two centre mids in defence as well.
Yeah,
I think a couple of boosts that we could do with here is, as I say, the centre back issue. You know, we've talked about that all we like, but I think something about Jota at this point would be quite nice to know where he's up to, and maybe that's something that will be asked. Maybe there'll be a bit more pressure put on Klopp this week to talk about that after the performance on Sunday.
Yeah,
because we've had a few weeks now where we've not scored, and I can see there being a narrative in a press conference saying, look, you know, this is the situation with the front three. Jota was in great form. Do we know where he's up to? Once we know that bit of information, and if we know that he's going to be back within the next few weeks, possibly, I think we'll all start to feel a little bit more nice about the situation.
Yeah, that and also I think the little issue we've got at the moment is when you start the front three and in the absence of Jota, where do you go from there? The game's not going your way and you're 20 minutes left in the game and you're searching for a goal and we haven't got the fitness and intensity levels that we've had in previous seasons. The thing that is one of the key defining features of this football team is not at the same level that it has been in any of the previous years. And I wonder, look at the Crystal Palace game, it's notable because Mohamed Salah's on the bench, and that's not, I'm not saying bench Salah every game, far from it, but I would be benching more often one of Salah, Mane or Firmino, so that when you get to 20 minutes left in the game, because they do still carry the fear factor, but do they carry a fear factor when you've handled them for 70 minutes and you know they're more knackered than you are? I think you strip away that if it doesn't work straight away, whereas you start someone like Minamino or you start someone like Shaqiri and then Salah or Mane are there, and then you've survived 70 minutes of like Liverpool trying the best to beat you, and it's going okay, and Sadio Mane walks onto the pitch, and you must be thinking, you can't help it. You'd be like, shit. And then he's full of energy.
What it stinks of at the minute is just it needs somebody. A bit like when Bruno Fernandes first came to United. United were like looking around like, we're stuck here. Well, where do we go? You need somebody like a Jota to come into the pitch and go, this is how you score a goal. This is the energy. This is the drive. This is, we need somebody to break the mould.
I'd like more of that for Minamino. You know, to be honest, he's the type of player that I feel like we should be looking to at the moment. I think if all had gone to plan, that might have been the player he'd become. Probably not. I don't know if his ceiling would ever be as high as Bruno Fernandes, but just that player that you can either bring on or you can start and just offer you something a little bit different. Because right now, particularly coming from midfield, doesn't feel like we've got enough of that. Thiago's obviously making a difference. And there was an interesting comment in there about the fact that the addition of Thiago in midfield negates the need for Bobby a little bit, because when you've got a player who, you know, I did the stats and tactics yesterday and was looking at the amount of dirty work that Thiago does in midfield, and obviously Firmino did a lot of that. Now, if you've got a creative player in Thiago who also does a lot of that, does that then further your case for having more of a traditional number nine in the Firmino role? Yeah. If, you know, if you go out and spend big money on somebody like Haaland in the summer, we're not here to necessarily talk about transfers, but there's a case to be made for
the next level, the next evolution.
I was saying the other week, I think in terms of us getting obviously challenging, challenging for the title again, and obviously trying to retain it. I think it is now. Now is the time that we need to approach the games differently in terms of how we play and the style of play we go with. If it was me, I would just play with the two up top. I think we've seen that the other day when he brought off Firmino and Salah and Mane went into Firmino's position. I think it would be better safe for us to just have Mane and Salah up top for us for the next couple of games, just as a two, and just building that midfield again, just keep the level of control that we have. Have someone like Thiago in the middle, kind of pulling the strings. Yeah. And I think we'd be better safe, because as you're saying then, Paul, I'd say it's not Salah or Firmino that's on the bench. Whichever one you choose to bring on, 70-odd minutes into the game, they're fresh-legged, ready to go, and they've got the bit between it. They don't want to be on the bench the next game. They want one of the other two to replace their spot, so they will come on and try and prove a point. And I just think they know at the moment, no matter how bad things get, this is the front three, and we're always going to be the front three that plays. So it's up to us to find our way out of it, unless Klopp turns around and says, hang on a minute, lads, I'm just going to change it right here, right now.
I get it. Like, we've had total upheaval in the back four, total upheaval in the midfield three. You keep your best foot front three on the pitch. That makes sense. So you try and have some sort of stability, so at least you can guarantee of what you know works and understandings between players. You've definitely kept your best foot wing backs full backs, and you've got your front three. I get why we've done that, but I do feel as though there's definitely something to what we're saying there. Mix it up, but like, you know, we got Burnley up next. Stick Salah centre forward, because we know he can just get a goal. Put Minamino from the left, move Mane back over to the right, and let them see how they handle something like that. You know, at the moment we're limited. I don't really want to see Thiago in the six. I want to see Thiago in the eight. I want to see him with a bit more license to go wherever the hell he wants to go. Because I do think when we're on top, and we saw it a bit against United, he was floating around the edge of the 18-yard box. You did a great bit on it in the for stats and tactics this weekend. But it does leave the door open a little bit when you've got somebody
like Wijnaldum, because I think that's the point. When you're playing Thiago in a six and Wijnaldum in the eight, they're not really playing in the six or the eight. They're both playing both, and they're both covering. But I think it's mad that we're having this conversation on the whole, because I think maybe something that we didn't sort of recognise at the time when we lost both centre-backs is, I think we all expected the conversation around this to be, maybe we'd be having the conversation around, God, we're leaking so many goals, you know, and all that. Maybe what we didn't recognise at the time, and maybe what there isn't given enough credit for, it's something we don't see, it's a bit more invisible, is that the way that the whole system has to work, there's so many cogs to the engine, and as soon as you take out the centre-backs in this case, how that affects the midfield and the attack. At the time when we talked about losing Van Dijk and Gomez, I don't feel like we properly discussed this and how it might affect the rest of the pitch. And funnily now, you know, we're talking about the front three, we're not talking about the back four. The back four are all right, the back four are keeping clean sheets, but it's the front three And you can link that back to losing the centre backs.
The whole thing is entangled with a team. Sorry, Beryl, with a team that's built on being a team. So when you have major destabilisation, any part of it, it's going to have a knock on. But the thing that's for me, Errol, is that Klopp built the title win last season on defence. We were solid defensive, and I think that's what we're doing now. I think we are trying to find a way to keep the door shut and trusting the attacking lads to do a little bit, to just add a little bit of sparkle. But when that sparkle's not there, we do look a little bit toothless as a result.
Yeah, literally what I was going to say. I don't think Klopp gets enough credit for how well he's coped with not having his base in defence, really. And I think, obviously, Alisson was out a little bit. We covered really well. Do you know what I mean? We dealt with that injury and that absence really well. Initially, when Verge goes out, we've dealt with that really well. Now, Gomez, everything in terms from the defensive side, Klopp's got it right. He's dealt with it really well. And I think it was just that trust in the fact that these front three will carry us through. They've still got the ability. They've not dropped off in anything. I just think at this moment in time now, that idea of there's nobody that's lighting a fire under their arses of any of them. And that's the predicament that we're in.
It's the Jota injury in that case that's killed us, because I actually did an article about this before Christmas, about the fact that pretty much, Errol, you're right, pretty much everywhere else on the pitch, even the kids, you can drop in. We've been conditioned to the point now where you can drop in somebody like Nico Williams. Mm-hmm. We don't really bat an eyelid because he's had the game time in the smaller games, and that's something that Klopp's done really well. The problem is that we literally now don't have the strength in numbers at the top of the field to be able to take Firmino out the side for five games and give him a proper rest.
Jota's immediate impact at Liverpool, maybe this is the problem is when we stopped doing this, by the way, but we were getting toward the back end of games, what I was saying earlier, and you bring Jota in and you're able to continue doing what you do best with a fresh lad on who's really hungry and causing problems. Without that, we are back to just we shoot our load at whatever point in the game we're done and we haven't got any more to add to that. Now, obviously, what we were working towards the situation is that if Jota starts, it means one of the other lads has got to not start, which means they're able to be the lad that comes in and does all that. We're not far off, and I don't want to put this all on Jota, because we haven't had Jota prior to this season and we've had no problems. And let's not make no mistakes about this. You know, Liverpool are still the top goal scorers in the Premier League this season. We haven't scored in three games. Mm. We're the top goal scorers in the division. Mo Salah's still the top goal scorer in the Premier League so far this season. It says to me that there aren't massive. This feels more like an outlier and something that we will get a handle on in coming weeks. My hope is that, as I say, what we're doing at the moment is we're building something that's going to see us through the rest of the season. Rather than, I think we've been fighting fires for a little bit of time. There's been lads going to the well one too many times, to use some wrestling parlance, and we've now got to build something that is sustainable between now and May if we're to have a really good go. And I'm confident of that being the case. But it started barely, really. Bailey, and you know, there's never hasn't been a case quite as often or quite as pressing as just fucking win a game of football as this Burnley game.
Genuinely, yeah, it's just it hasn't been like that for a long time, and it's such a big game. And the thing is, it's so predictable as well. It's Burnley; they're going to do what they do against 19 of the teams in the league. Sit super deep. Soak up all the pressure, knock long, over the top, route one, Brexit-style football like they've always done. You know the game plan. How are you going to deal with it? That's the thing for me, is, you know, you can kind of let them off with somebody like Southampton when they've got such a potent striker in Danny Ings. You can completely let them off with United. Are they going to be a five-back, a four-back? They're all over the place. Burnley's Burnley. And you've got to sit down and think, how do we finally get the better of this low block? And you hit the nail on the head then, and especially in your instant match reaction after the United game, is this team is so reliable on consistency. It has been for season after season. That back four is always the same. It was always Fabinho, Gini, Hendo, and an occasional tweak if we needed more an attacking output. That front three was always the same. Mm-hmm. You've got like 16 different centre-back partnerships this season. This midfield's completely all over the place. The only thing that hasn't changed is the front three. And for them, albeit they're still playing together, they must be looking behind them every game like, I don't know how to play with this guy. I haven't played with Shaqiri in about 2 years.
Yeah.
It's just like, you're right. Go on, Errol.
I know I'd make a point in this, for maybe for the players, maybe not so much for the fans, but I think if we, the players, were to win against Burnley, you know, the next game, I think they might take more confidence than they did after beating Man U, simply because you might think they're probably going to be the hardest team that plays the low block that we'll come across for the rest of the season. If we can get a result against them, we can definitely do it against anybody else that chooses to play that style. And I think that might give them that belief again that we can knock three past them. We can do it against anybody. Just keep doing what we know we need to do. And we've got the ability.
We had a little bit of this when you think about Tottenham. You know, we got through the Tottenham game. And then having beaten Tottenham and broken them down, who were very well structured, very well disciplined, very well organised side, doing it with world-class players, Crystal Palace must have felt like an absolute fucking party by comparison. Mm. And that's the interesting thing about the Burnley game. It's a similar challenge, but a different challenge, and hopefully not, maybe slightly more physical, but, you know, they certainly haven't got the pace to hurt you on the counter in the same way that Man United have or Tottenham had or
yeah, 100%. I agree to an extent. I mean, it would be nice if we go back and put 3 or 4 past Burnley on Thursday, but I think the most important thing and the message to the players will be right now is just get back to winning football matches, get back to finding a way to win. That's what Man United are doing at the moment. They're, you know, they're finding ways to win games. The Wolves game in particular, Man United, they're 0-0, they go into stoppage time, they get a deflected goal and they take the 3 points in that game. It's annoying, but that's what we were doing last season. Yeah. You know, we go away, and for the season before, you're in that title race at City. You know, the Origi goal's dead funny, but how many times does that happen? You know, the Tottenham goal where there's a confusion on the line and it goes in and we win that one. You know, all of these little games that add up over time, and it becomes a mentality. And right now, it's as if, you know, it's as if we don't feel like we're going to score. We've got to get back. We've got to just win the game 1-0, even if it's 1-0 on Thursday. We've got to go out and try and get a result against Tottenham and just getting back into our habit. And that's why I think, actually, and it's interesting, we might talk about this more later in the week, but like, I'd go quite strong away at Man United next weekend as well, because if you win away at Old Trafford, it doesn't matter whether it's the cup or not, that's going to help you as well.
My mentality on this is I would almost go identical team for the Thursday for Burnley, yeah, as from Man United. Mm-hmm. Go again, because I think the things that we were doing well, we're okay, and that consistency thing is a very important thing, to be honest. And then see what's left for Man United. I'm not asked about Man United. I wouldn't mind us winning the cup, but, you know, we might find that if we're struggling in the league and struggling in the Champions League, an FA Cup might just be a nice little thing just to keep us ticking over in the interim. But really, like, if we'll have to see, because if we run ourselves into the ground against Burnley, it's a bit of a non-issue. But I'm far less arsed about the Manx game. It feels bigger because of the opposition. I appreciate your point about, like, we can keep the good vibes kind of rolling, yeah, and we might yet be able to do that. It's not like we've got too many options in certain areas of the pitch to rotate regardless, but we've got a couple of super chats. I can see
him doing what he did for Crystal Palace against Burnley, playing Minamino or something like that, just to rest somebody.
Yeah, well, interesting there. Larry Sarpong with the super chat there saying, Taki played amazing against Palace and hasn't been seen since. Matip Phillips has to start against Burnley. Fabinho, Thiago, Hendo, Mane, Taki, Shaq would be his team. Heavy rotation. See, comes down to me. I like the idea of the Minamino thing, and it might well be, and I've got no problem because it works so well against Crystal Palace. My feeling is that if we're going to see any mad changes, it'll be United on Sunday, and that'll just be because people need to come out of it. But I don't disagree with the, well, my only thing about this is the Phillips thing makes sense, other than, again, just consistency. Just keep Hendo and Fabinho in. If they're gonna play centre half for us, unless you can tell me Matip's gonna be available for the next three games, guaranteed, which he can't, I'd just keep Hendo there.
Yeah, potentially. I think I wouldn't go that far. I think this is the type of game you earn the right to be able to rotate that heavily in this game, and our previous results haven't put us in that position. Yeah. So if we'd gone and beaten West Brom, Newcastle, Southampton, even if we'd drawn at the weekend against Man United, we'd now be points by a few, we'd now be topped by a margin of a few points. Mm-hmm. Then you can look ahead to United and go, well, this is the team I want to play, so I might start Shaqiri, I might start Minamino against Burnley. Unfortunately, now we're in a position where this is a must win. Yeah. You know, this really is, for me, if we go and, God forbid, lose here, mm-hmm, this is, that really is the title in real doubt, really, if we're right on the periphery.
Well, there's, Bailey, there's a, another comment here from Craig Tebbs who said that, do you think the front three's form is down to us losing Fab and Hendo in the middle for front foot pressing and counter pressing, killing the supply? And that's the point. I think there's two schools of thought here, is you do just persist with what we've seen at Southampton and what we've seen in the Man United game. That's keep Henderson and Fabinho, because at least you know they're a solid pair. They're not lacking in any departments. You know, you're not criminally slow or anything like that, or lacking in overall footballing experience, good passes of the ball. And then you look to just continue to build with a Thiago, Wijnaldum led midfield, or do you go, fuck it, just put a six out of 10 footballer in the back four or more, you know, or completely, you know, and get your midfield back to your best front foot midfield. I still fall down on that. I'd still rather see that. But that's going to be the Sophie's choice kind of thing for Klopp, isn't it?
It's, for me, if against Burnley, if Nat Phillips, who you look at him for what he is, his best attribute is he's a very good ball winner in the air. If he does not get a game against Burnley, a team that will play off of free kicks and corners because they've got midfielders and a big striker, and you don't play Nat Phillips against that style of play, that just tells me, and he does play Henderson, that's his plan from the future. Yeah. I think this is a big template as to how he wants to outset it. And if it's, because what we know is he's playing Henderson there because he needs the ball playing ability to be able to find a pass from deep because they're sitting deep. And we need that element that Virgil brought, which is fine. I'm absolutely fine with that. But like you say, if he's going to bring that in, that tells me that he's taking it game by game. Then Manchester United, maybe he plays Matip because he doesn't want to lose the game. It's all a bit, again, being patient. I don't think the game plan is showing itself right now. Mm-hmm. I think we have to wait and see.
Yeah, definitely. And just to wrap us up, just because obviously we can't answer these questions, but I'm happy for people to speculate away wildly in the comments. That's what they're for. Trig Josh sends a couple of super chats in. He said, "Hi, Redmen. If our current first team got Hollywood acting opportunities, what roles do you think each of them would play and why?" He suggests he think Klopp would be Brian Mills from Taken. I could see Jurgen Klopp being in one of those, like, you know, like WWE style straight to video action movies where he does play a Taken style role, but it's a bit, you know, like sci-fi channel style. It's got some special effects, but they're all a little bit, maybe like an informant in a Fast and Furious movie. I think I could see Klopp in. What do you reckon?
My mind immediately jumped to James Bond and Virgil because when he went to Monaco and for the best award and he showed up in like the shades and the black shirt and he's just like walking along and I'm like, my word, it's only a black shirt.
What are these feelings that I'm feeling?
Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, I must say, so yeah, that's what I do. I can just imagine him sat in a casino with his martini and he's, you know, girl on his arm. That's Virgil. Virgil, isn't it?
I think that's a brilliant one. Adel, any suggestions?
And I can't really top that one. I think that was class, that, to be honest, mate. I could definitely see like Mane as an action hero, though. I feel like he's kind of got like the Expendables about him, during the view, where you could drop him into an action film with just blockbusters, all these other A-list celebrities, and Mane would just hold his own. I think he'd be class.
I am all in on Jurgen Klopp. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the picture of young Jurgen with that massive fat Cuban cigar that he's smoking.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's just like quintessential. You could see him in like Miami Heat or like Scarface, something just like, he's just a cool guy.
How about as Hannibal in the A-Team?
Or Murdoch, something like that.
He'd be the perfect amalgamation of the both. There's an A-Team character fusion, to bring it all back full circle, which we make a Jurgen Klopp character. Yeah, fusion. Huh? Right, guys, thank you so much for joining us for the podcast this week. That's been good. I feel loads better now. I've been in a proper funk for a couple of days now. A combination of Liverpool being crap, the world being crap, and Blue Monday on top.
So quiet after the game,
mate. Honestly, but yeah, Thanks so much to Edel. Thanks so much to Bailey. Thank you, Ben, very much as well. And for you guys at home, you're wonderful. Do leave a like on this on YouTube. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review on podcasting services. And if you want more from us, we've dropped, we've name dropped a couple of brilliant shows. The Reds News Roundup show is out on the RedmenTV.com now. And Ben has brought back, he's resurrected Stats and Tactics. Some clips on the social channels if you want to have a little sneak preview of what it looks like. But yeah, if you want more in-depth analysis, if you want to learn stuff and feel comforted about Liverpool's situation, then head over to the website, sign up and get some boss content there too. Other than that, we'll be back with another podcast next week. See you there. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.